The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 8th of June, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations with the rapidly changing Bahamas. We're good yawning this morning. We are having an open line show today. Call in, text in. Let's talk about what you want to talk about once we could talk about it, right? Let's be responsible with everything that we do. Once we know we could talk about it, then we're going to talk about it. For instance, one of the things I want to talk about is police reporting of crimes, and why it seemed like everything's not making it to the public domain, but then sometimes even the police have to peep some and keep some. We'll talk about that a little bit for a moment, but let me give you the numbers to call in. You could call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, or 325-4259. Remember, you can text us on the text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-6. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Now, remember, we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or Flow, channel 612, or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. Well, good yawning this morning. There's lots to talk about. Before we get into some local news, I want to mention, share the passing of George Lamming, OCC. George Lamming, born 8th of June, 1927, and departed 4th of June, 2022. Lamming was a Barbadian novelist, essayist, and poet, and an important figure in Caribbean literature. He first won a critical acclaim with the publication in 1953 of his debut novel, In the Castle of My Skin. He also held academic posts, including as a distinguished visiting professor at Duke University and a visiting professor in the Africana Studies Department of Brown University, and he lectured extensively worldwide. I was supposed to mention that yesterday as a part of our discussion about the Queen's honors. I'm going to talk about that a little. Yesterday, Mr. Mark Palmer shared with us that it turns out that the Bahamas has officially used up its supply of SIRS. Now, I don't know if it's like maybe, you know, for the next 5 years, you're on hold, you ain't got no more SIRS to appoint. But I thought that was fascinating, that we had run out, like we had used up our allocations of that designation. And I had a couple of questions to ask about that. Okay, like, because technically sir is not a gender neutral term, but maybe the position is, do we have any ladies left? Because I think this is a good thing. Always look for the bright side in life. Maybe it's time we start appointing or anointing some women, more women, with this honor. That's if we have any of them left. What I thought was interesting in reading the and George Lamming's short bio was that he had been awarded the Order of the Caribbean Community. And that's an award given to Caribbean nationals whose legacy in the economic, political, and cultural metamorphosis of Caribbean society is phenomenal. The award was initiated in 1987, and it first was bestowed in 1992. And so I thought with the question, well, it doesn't seem as if Bahamians are invested in the Queen's honors, truly invested, like culturally and across the board collectively. And it doesn't seem as if we had particularly invested in our local honors. At least, it's weird. It's like the government is invested in the Queen's honors, and the people aren't, not so much. And the people are invested in the local honors, but the government, not so much. What about the Order of the Caribbean Community? I think we have produced or been blessed with, I think that's a better word, been blessed with Bahamians that have not only positively impacted the Bahamas, the development of the country, and the growth of Bahamians at home and across the globe, but I think we have Bahamians that have been a benefit to the region as a whole as well. And so I want to say condolences to George Lamming, to his family on his passing. And I would suggest to everybody, if you get a chance, read In the Castle of My Skin. And if you have a copy, lend it to somebody so they could read it too. Got a text here that says, Miss Green, Esso gas is $7.39 a gallon by grab. That's, what's that? Did I say auto serve? Is that auto serve? No. Is that full service and Family Island rates, right? I saw a post yesterday saying that it's $7.39 in the Family Islands. Wow. I don't understand how that's working out because they got longer distances to ride than we do typically in these Family Islands. This is problematic, and people have pointed it out, you know. Certainly, it's a crisis if the cost of 1 gallon of gas is higher than your minimum wage. It's absolutely a crisis. And a lot of people are going to say, if you can't drive, then you must see, could ride bike or walk, or catch bus or walk. Well, I used to believe that too until you realized that you could hardly catch bus. And I know that we're not going to continue to suggest that what we have is an actual functioning bus system. We got a ton of buses on the road. We got a ton of jitney moving up and down, but we do not have a bus system. Nothing close to it. Pushing road. That's it. That's all. That's all. No schedules. No means of communication with bus drivers. There's something about bus stops that make Bahamians terribly, terribly uncomfortable. For a second, I thought, well, maybe gang violence is out of control. If people catch the bus, they don't want to stop on the bus stop because you may be waiting there for them. Is that what it is? Why you have to call bus stop 45 seconds after the bus has left the actual bus stop? Why aren't there sufficient covered buses? Because we have a hurricane season for like 6 months of the year, every year. It's not that people don't want to catch the bus. People actually want to be a part of a functioning bus system so that they plan out their days and their lives. I mean, it's very, very simple. And please don't ask people who have lived abroad in countries with actual functioning bus systems to just sit, you know, tolerate this, because this is foolishness. This thing we force people to use, it's a disgrace. It's dehumanizing. That every day you go and you walk out to a spot, a designated spot, with no certainty of when the bus will actually come or which bus will come. People would use a public transportation system if we had one. And boy, don't we need one. How many Bahamians would prefer to sit in a bus where they could just focus 100% of their attention on their phone, as opposed to being behind the wheel and being forced to only, you know, focus maybe 50% of the attention on their phone? Wouldn't you be more comfortable in a bus where you could do what it is you actually want to do when you get behind the wheel of a car? But $7.39 a gallon is not making any sense. And I wonder if it has to be $7.39 a gallon if fuel importers are bragging about record profits. How could gas be $7.39 a gallon and people are making profits? I figure you're making what you need to cover your costs and ensure that the average person could still access fuel, because we're in a global pandemic and everybody is in the same boat. Why would you wreck the boat while we're all on it? It seems problematic, but we have some solutions available to us. First of all, dear professional people, I know you go to a professional job and you make professional money, and your money is good, in or out of your wallet. But now may be the time for us to start organizing carpooling. Right, professionals? Accountants, lawyers, doctors, even up at the top, people making all their money. That was a good time. Start organizing carpooling. And you may be saying to yourself right now, but Eric, I don't need no carpooling. I can afford to put gas in my car. But think of all the people you know that can't near you or work near you or work with you and need this sort of assistance. I see your caller coming right now. We could stick a pin because I want to say, remind us that we have unions that are supposed to provide services for their members. A public service union supposed to have public transportation system. The hotel union supposed to have public transportation system that they should be able to use to alleviate the pressure on their wallets. Anyway, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Eric Gray.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good, good.
If I get to my point, I see the Minister of Work going to follow the ideas we've been talking about for a long time.
Which ones are those? Tell me.
Well, you know about the flooding?
Yeah.
They're going to dig some wells.
Okay.
Did you read it?
No, I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, that you know, with the pine with the area knows all the areas.
Uh-huh.
They're going to dig some wells and let the water flow out in those wells.
Okay.
Avoid the flooding and some sort of piping. Also, they're going to lift the one of the parks.
Uh-huh. They're going to create a water, they're going to create a storage
right.
facility underneath there, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I was saying that, we were sort of saying that for a long time on the talk show.
Yeah.
That would eliminate the problem.
Right. What I really want to know is why did there was a remedy or a mitigation mechanism in place before? I was told that there was You know, they had something where the water would drain south naturally into a space, but development changed the way the shape of the landscape. Right?
I don't know about that. Okay. I don't know document of that.
All right.
But I also agree with him. Stop investing in the wetland area.
You mean stop developing in wetland areas?
Sorry, developing. Developing in the wetland area.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Well, investing in development, yeah. Developing in the wetland area, yeah. Because I say that's a long time. Why do that?
And it gets better. I want to say it gets better, but...
Makes sense.
No, you take swampland, and in many instances, not all, but in many instances, you turn that swampland into high-end housing developments that are not even accessible by the average Bahamian, but the average Bahamian has to bear the weight, the brunt, or the consequence of that development, with it having been developed on swampland that actually had a purpose.
Do you remember the issue with at the Pinewood area or Alvacom area?
Not specifically, but yeah.
When they built home in that area, they're supposed to build home, of course, that's flooding and all of that.
Right. Well, I don't know the technicality. I don't know if an EIA was produced and then they ignored it. None of that.
Right. That swamp. And that's why I agree with the minister not to repeat that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the people are suffering now. But my second point is, during the local government conference, I am disappointed. I haven't heard the Minister of Local Government, Minister Kay Sweden, talk about local government for new problems. You know, I smile when you're talking about organized bus system.
Uh-huh.
We don't have an organized bus city. We have an organized city.
For organized bus system, eh?
You know, we have to have a bus system. We need to have an organized city. We don't have an organized community. And this reason why I'm lobbying for local government so hard. If we only have local government, the public, the community, can organize themselves and what they want.
Yeah.
That's including everything you talk about. What system, where investment should go, where not should go. In our community, we have a voice.
Man, listen, you made some awesome points. Let's go right here first, because that last point is the best. We can end with that. I imagine that Clay Sweeting right now, the minister, is totally and completely overwhelmed. At least he's rolling out of that with this initiative where they tried to have, or where they had, four or five regattas and homecoming over the same weekend, right? And then with the flooding and the issues, he's still getting entrenching himself into the the portfolio of Family Island Affairs. Right? And the vast majority of people working with the local government project are still trying to figure out the transition from Family Island focus to include New Providence. But if you leave that in that space is called the Portfolio for Family Island Affairs, it could be difficult. It could be difficult extracting that, right? Like from what they do there and expanding it or developing it for New Providence. So I can give him a bit of a bligh, but I agree with you here. I only was aware of the local government conference because it popped up on a couple of my social media notifications, right? I don't think there was sufficient coverage. And I want to say to any government agency, anybody doing any initiative like that, man, look here, if you don't want to reach out to any media, reach out to me and ask me what we could do to get your initiative on the air. Because it's great that you're doing it. But it would be even better if the people who you are supposed to serve also know that you're doing it. And know with sufficient time so they could organize themselves to participate. Because here you have a caller on the line. This guy's been focused on this issue for over a decade. And he brings sound, salient points to the radio all the time, like the point that he just made, which I will sort of paraphrase. But a New Providence and island-wide public transportation system should be developed in conjunction with a local government, right? with the protocols, the decisions that individual communities will make, right? Like the two should happen either at the same time, or local government should be in place first. And then you develop a public transportation system so you can get those island-wide, you know, segments. And then you could have some smaller segments. Like where I live in Johnson Road, they don't need to get on a bus to go all the way through Fox Hill to Elizabeth Estates, through town to come back to Johnson Road. There should be a bus that does maybe the Fox Hill, Bernard Road, Bernard Road from Fox Hill to Village Road and up through Johnson Road, right? A shorter route like that. And that's something a local government body could make a decision on. So I want to say thank you very, very much for that contribution. Let's get to the second caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
I am going to chime in on your conversation with regard to the national awards and the foreign awards.
Yes, yes.
For 25 years, we in the National Heroes Committee fought to try to get recognition of our people by our people in the form of national reward system. And we finally achieved that several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we still do not see the wisdom of abolishing the foreign awards, which actually, when you think about it, really has no real merit. When you talk about the British Empire, which is non-existent anymore, we opt to duplicate and diminish the quality and the value of our own awards by continuing to be duplicitous in bringing in the foreign awards. Why do we continuously need outside validation to recognize our Bahamian people? That is an indictment on us as a people. And I pray that the government, this administration, will have the intestinal fortitude to abolish the trappings of our colonialization for hundreds of years. It is time for us to be an independent nation. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for the contribution. While you were talking, I was thinking, you know, one of the things, what we will get back to after this break is a nuance in there about who chooses who our heroes are. Anyway, it's time for a break. You're on the clock with Aaron Green, but stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity Coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300. Will you be prepared?
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green and we are so open line day. I have some things I want to talk about, but I am more than willing to engage. What do the people want to talk about? So call and text and let me know. Call or text and let me know. Yeah, local government moving. We have to get it moving. You know, Organization for Responsible Government talks about it a lot. And Pumpkin Eater? That's Peter Pumpkin Eater? I mean, this guy has been working as a citizen, not necessarily attached to any civil society organization, focused on local government as a part of the solution to many of the issues that we are facing. I got a text here that says, great show as usual. We don't have an organized family structure in Nassau, so how are we supposed to have a structured bus system? Anything buck up goes. Well, I tell you what, it's a bit complicated, but I see what you're saying, right? Like, people are better able to function, to navigate spaces, and to organize their own lives if they grow up in structures that are organized and functional. Whether they are intimately a part of those structures or they are near, like proximity to them, and they could glean. That's how a lot of us learn. Not because somebody told us, we were able to watch or observe things happening around us and learn from those situations. Boy, I got that on my list. What's up going on with this gun violence? Well, first of all, the gun is just a tool, right? The gun is just a tool, and it's an easy tool to use to inflict violence. The question is, why is the gun so accessible, so easy to find in this town where we barely make anything? Unless you're a politician, then you make a good salary. But that's past the point. I got a caller on the line. Texter, let me get to this caller. And when we're done with this caller, we're going to get back into that question of what's going on with all this gun violence. Like, I have a question. How do we stop the guns from entering the country? And then an observation. If we could get this Border Patrol thing handled, don't mind. Did we have a history of piracy, smuggling, and drug running? And then they expelled the commerce, and then it turns out that commerce was a transatlantic slave trade. And now we don't know who's the pirates and who's not the pirates. We're a bit stuck. Anyway, how are the guns getting here? And if we can control the borders, listen, here's what we could do. We could better manage our marine resources and eradicate poaching so these people stop trying to sell me a boilfish for $30. We're going to get to that too. So we could manage undocumented migration, human smuggling and trafficking, undocumented migration from the north and the south. And maybe, just maybe, the U.S. federal government will allow us to legalize recreational marijuana. And maybe allow cultivation of small amounts to eradicate the fear of drug smuggling and trafficking. Those are all things that maybe we could do if we could figure out how to stop the guns from getting in the country. Anyway, producer, let's go to these calls dead quick. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me start off with the bus system.
Okay.
I had an idea a while back. With a bus system organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of something that I saw in the U.S. because I love to catch a bus in the U.S. It's so easy. If that bus is going to be there on bus number 28, you would bet just be Jesus that bus is there or 9:15. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And when I came, the first time I caught the bus in the States, when I came back here, I didn't want to catch the bus.
Yeah.
One week trip made me not want to catch a bus here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
because it's so organized. And the sea is so small. And you ride all day on that one sea.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes, ma'am.
And I think it would have made it a good thing, the idea that I had, but we ain't got no money.
No. We have money. Don't let them talk to you like they're your mother, you know. They have money.
No. I mean them. I said me.
Oh, okay.
The idea that I had.
Okay.
I would have I saw a place that I would check out in my head that, okay, this would be perfect for the bus to come and park and then move in intervals to pick up their passengers. This is nobody fighting. You know, and have the bus stops organized in such a way where it's on it, the buses have numbers on it, so if you're supposed, and I talk big numbers, not the numbers down behind the cars that you can't see.
Right, big
posted
numbers. I
talk about numbers up atop the bus.
Now listen.
Where you can see the bus long before it reach.
Now listen. So here's what I can tell you.
The bus you want to catch.
Here's what I can tell you. Put together your plan. Don't share it. Put together your plan. And then go online. You'd be surprised the number of grants or funding opportunities that are available to develop plans like that. So when you say you don't have the money. But before you go into developing your plan, my producer just reminded me, because listen, I was a dedicated bus catcher. There was nobody more dedicated to public transportation than me. That we've had an attempt at modernizing and regulating public transport system. So I'm not telling you don't do it. What I'm telling you is you also now have to investigate and interrogate what happened and what went wrong. What went right, but what went wrong there? Because I remember calling the number, asking them, you know, when is the next bus scheduled to come through? And the bus driver saying, well, there's a bus expected. And me being there 20 minutes waiting and calling the number again for the dispatch to tell me, ma'am, the bus driver says that he's on that route. You should see him any moment. And so the money is available. But before you before you go to write up your grant, interrogate why I think they had a Mango card. Maybe it's Mango, not this new Mango thing and not the other new Mango thing. But check it out, because that'll be important for building a functioning system, figuring out why that last one didn't work. And we're going to get to that at some point as well, maybe not today. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Mom.
Morning. How you do?
I'm giving thanks, that's all, you know. But, you know, the civil bombs are counting the poor people, you know. The bus issue, that's a poor people issue, so it doesn't matter to them, you know. What they do is privatize the bus and believe that that it's going to be serve a public good. You know, that's impossible, you see. And you see, like, you know, we got poor people got many issues that they won't deal with, you know. Let's look at this gun thing. This gun thing, whether it's a gun or a knife, is violence, you understand? They won't deal with the root of the problem, why these people are doing these things. Wouldn't make them unlike the people in those other communities. You know, one other thing, man.
Yes.
They like to talk about the poor people watching face. Poor people don't watch face. Poor people don't want to be rich. Poor people just want to live. Right? The governments will do is give the preacher the money to form a breadline, and all the poor people need is to be paid a livable wage. That's point blank, and they'll take care of all of this crime, most of this crime, and at least their hands to be clean. They need to pay these people dignified wages. Thank you.
Absolutely. And regulate markets, because no matter what you're paid, if the service providers can just adjust their costs to the consumer, it makes no sense. Thank you very much, caller. That's music. It's time for a break. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Thank you. The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays, too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads, too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. And if you're wondering why is this public transportation conversation so important, well, first of all, you know, and on an island that's 21 by 7, where you can't, on an island that's 21 by 7, where, I mean, now you could afford a car, but you can't afford the gas, right? Public transportation should be a must. On an island, in a country where tourism is your number one seller, public transportation should be a must, even if the taxis are trying to return to their state of former glory. Public transportation is a must. But in a country where if you you can't have a functioning or functional adult life without your own transportation, right? Like without your own means of moving about, a public transportation system is a must. See, we've already infantilized our population by perpetuating and entrenching ourselves in this culture that you can't be man or woman unless you have your own house, mortgage. It's man, woman. Because the vast majority of people can't, won't be able to do that. Thus, they won't be able to, you know, pass through that rite of passage. And the same thing with a car, with transportation. It's like y'all just want poor people to wither away and die. But anyway, so we need public transportation system here. Also, we need it because y'all like to drink. It's not just that y'all like to drink, y'all like to be intoxicated. See, drinking is one thing. Being intoxicated is another thing. Y'all love that. That's why we need a public transportation system. And then y'all, like I said earlier, y'all like to do things in your car that you don't have to do in your car. Y'all act like the only place you could do it is in your car, like post your phone up against your nose, the bridge of your nose, so you can see it properly. Yeah, that's why we need a public transportation system. But I'm looking at today's Guardian on page A3 in National News, and the headline, two charged with vehicular manslaughter. Two men accused of separate cases of vehicular manslaughter were yesterday granted bail. With one of the accused on accusations that he caused the death of his two-month-old son. Not everybody needs to drive a car. We all have the right to equal access to a car, right? Like if I could get a car, you could get a car too. We all don't need to be driving. That's the next thing. All of us do not need to be driving. We don't seem to take it seriously enough. On the way into the station today, somebody said something about a $30 bowl of boiled fish, and I almost fell out my chair. I almost fell out of my chair. Who is selling boiled fish for $30 a serving? I think it's Grouper. I hope it's Grouper. Because if you sell me, Swy, disguised as Grouper, if you're going to the dock and getting Grouper head for the bone-in bits and then throwing some Swy in there for the meaty bits, me and you can never, ever be friends. Even if it's one of those groupers that they tested, one of those fish that they tested recently and determined the fish may have been more intoxicated than the average Bahamian driver. If you are not a hotel, because like a hotel is a magical land where you could do things that normal Bahamians can't do. But if you are not a hotel restaurant and you are serving boiled fish at $30 a serving, somebody can call the police on you. And don't get mad at them if they do, because you know is something wrong with that. See, listen, I know that a kid of fish, and I know it's a kid of snappers is coming in at $300 at the last count. It's $300, that's plenty money. But if you selling fish and you only buy in one kid at a time, then you ain't really a restaurant. And the question is, should you be selling fish? Did you know you live in what is perhaps the second or the third largest archipelago in the Western Hemisphere? Perhaps the second largest, if not the first largest fish nursery in the world. Maybe not the first largest, but one of the largest fish nurseries in the world. And you can't figure out how to serve boiled fish without it costing $30 a serving? Almost going to talk to you like you was a politician just now. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yeah, hello.
Good morning.
Morning. First time caller. I always listen to you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Okay. Now, you was talking about the bus system.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I can say this.
Uh-huh.
The bus system will never work the way how it's set up.
Okay.
You see, you have too many different people who have plates.
Mm-hmm.
I got 4 plates. You got 5 plates. And mm-hmm. nobody, you know, everybody will go where the area is profitable.
That's
a big problem right there.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I see it could work, if the government take it over, like, you know, you go in Miami, they have a bus system there.
Mm-hmm.
And who run that? The federal government run that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Or the city. They have a city or a state or a federal transportation
system.
Well,
I say the city because it's run by the, you know, by the government over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, over here, too many colonialism and this going on, so that's been never weak.
Mm-hmm.
They tried, you know, they tried to say they unified, but that will never happen. Long as I got 3 plates, Aaron got 5 plates, another one got 6 plates,
mm-hmm.
never work. And that's why everybody has to get their own car, because you can't really depend on them. Okay, let's say, for instance, you live in Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, buses come in Adelaide.
True. Take long.
All right, so...
Hold on, shout out to Leah Aeneas. If it was up to y'all Bahamian, she'd have to walk to Cairns to get her award. But thank you, that's the point you're making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm saying, the only way it works, like I can say, the government have to take it over and stop playing around and worrying about the colonialism and all of this foolishness on it.
Absolutely.
I mean, some other things I want to talk about, I'll let you go.
All
but
right.
That's the only way the bus system can't work. And I gave another illustration. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the local government.
Mm-hmm.
Local government local government could be local. You already have the MP.
Mm-hmm.
All MP got to do it two ways. He could select about five people who he could put, you know, say these is local government people. Or they could have a voting for five person who will be in charge of local government.
Yes.
And that's where each constituency will have their own local government.
Absolutely.
I'll leave you with that.
Absolutely. Thank you. And please call back again.
All right.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Great contributions. Absolutely great contributions. Thank you very much. I just want to make a point. The texter here, the texter same as Green, ratchet things take place in the bus as well. And you make such an important point. That's one of the main reasons why we need a properly regulated, maintained, and monitored public transportation system. Too many predators using public transportation system and taking advantage of young people who are still growing into their brains and their bodies, and also taking advantage of older people as well. This is not tolerable. And since we're talking about it, there's an article in today's papers, government committing to rolling out CCTV on parks in Grand Bahama and New Providence. Don't you already have CCTV programs running right now? Are they running? But if you do this, are you going to monitor them real time? Are you going to use the same companies that you've been using before? Will you assess your public infrastructure and make sure that it's not broken or damaged or destroyed? Will you do these things? Because you could do that on the public transportation system as well, to keep young and vulnerable people safe. There's a couple more things I wanted to touch on. Before I come to you guys, callers, two callers on the line, I wanted to say the company responsible for the Village Road Roadworks, I'm going to ask you if you could refer to the Ministry of Public Works as to their protocol for roads work signage and for site barriers. And maybe y'all need to go to Royal Bahamas Police Force and find out who stole all of your metal plates that cover the trenches that you either left in the road or knew would be existing in the road after the torrential rain. All of that, I'm going to ask you to refer to the Ministry of Public Works to ensure that you are following the proper protocols and not causing unnecessary damage to the public's property. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, the local government, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Persons that are elected mm-hmm. to be in charge of these local governments for the family violence.
Yes.
Is there a particular training that they go through so they can know what is expected of them?
Yes.
Because the family island don't seem to have proper local government. It's like, most of the stuff they run to Nassau for in any event. But I'm trying to find out if there is a particular training for
local government. Right. There is a training. There's definitely a training. You can go online. I think you can go online and find it. But the question is, like, is it sufficient culturally? Like, the training is good, and people could be good workers, but they still need reinforcement. And they still need continuing training and education opportunities. And it also needs to be open to the wider public. Because sometimes the problem isn't that the local government person doesn't understand what to do. It's that the wider community doesn't understand what needs to be done. And then there's confusion. Caller, you're on the clock. I am sorry I lost you, caller. I am very, very sorry. As we go, I got a text here that says, why do poor people call themselves poor people? Power in the tongue. Sound to me like they're keeping themselves down. It's not really them. It's like how their bank is talk to them. Get a team from Holland. They already solved this water problem. These are people. I got you. Text says, these truly are the last days, Aaron Lloyd. They sell in boiled fish for $30. And look here, if it is swine or tilapia, well, we all go into glory. I gotta go. Thank you, producer. Thank you to the texters and to the callers. It's great discussions today. Awesome points made. Trust me, the powers that be are listening. And if your if there's been a disruption in your garbage collection, please call DEHS to report any lapse in service. They won't know there's a problem unless you tell them. Have a great day, Bahamas. Stay dry. Stay warm.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, always.